These are exciting days for us as FCC. Really excited about what God's doing. And this words for Isaiah 54 just will not go away. They just keep on coming back to me time after time. I'll just read them out to you. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtain wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you'll spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispose nations and settle in desolate cities. Do not be afraid, you will not be put to shame, nor fear disgrace, for you will not be humiliated. This word speaks about change. Change is uncomfortable, is it? And we've made a decision to change the evening services and do something different. And I remember Gary a few months ago, this thing was squint, remember? And it was lying squint, and he says, I've got to go up there and change it. And God says, but if you change it, you've got to change the course. And God has changed the course for us at FCC. He's changed the course. And God's given me this verse, and it just keeps on coming back since the start of the year. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth your curtains. And it speaks about expansion. It speaks about strengthening. It speaks about moving on. It speaks about change. And Kevin asked me to preach a couple of weeks ago because he's on holiday, obviously. He actually managed to get one holiday. And I came, you guys came, but from Kevin's family was about America. Kevin was back home. So this time, the plane's safe and they got to Scotland. So Kevin's on holiday. But I shared this morning part of this sermon because I just felt it was right. There's times that we just need to let the Lord come into our lives. And a new why in the presence of worship. God wants to do so much through us, through you, through me. And he wants to enlarge our capacity. He wants us to move on. In the midst of worship, like what I shared, it's brilliant to still your heart, to still your mind. To let the waves of his worship wash over you and to refresh you. To still your voice. To still your heart and let go. But you say, let go into fit. Just let go into his presence. Let your mind be filled with whatever he gives you. Let him impregnate a new dream into your heart. This issues that you've been struggling with, this mountain that you've been worried about. Just tell yourself. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And when Kevin asked me to preach, I just was at a service at the front a couple of Sundays ago. And I just saw a new vision. A vision of our church. Our church had a moat, either way ruin it. Either way ruin was our church with a moat. And then the walls came down. First it was this wall. And this wall just collapsed. Straight out. Then this one collapsed straight out. And then the back one collapsed straight out. And then the front one collapsed straight out. And I just meditated that in the middle of worship. I says, Lord, what are you saying? What are you doing? And he says, Paul, I want to remove the walls of the church. I want you to be a church without walls. A church without walls. You see, for generations, the church has changed it. And if we look at for Jesus, if it happened in the Great Commission in Matthew 16, let's just look if it happened, if what Jesus says. Mark 16, verse 9. After Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw this was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he cast out 70 demons. She went with the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive, she had seen him, but he didn't believe her. Afterwards, he appeared to a different form to two of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. They rushed back to tell others, but no one would believe him. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples, and as they were eating together, he rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief, because they refused to believe those who had seen him, and as he had been raised from the dead. And then he told them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses will be condemned." Jesus says in the Great Commission, he says, go into all the world. But if it's happened since then, we've built cathedrals, we've built churches, and we want the world to come into us. We put on programs for this, we put on programs for that, we put on programs for the next thing, and trying to reach the people to bring them back into church. But as they see is a building, as they see is a structure, as they see is a room in a social club, that's all they see. What the world needs in this days is you and me. I'm not slamming church. I'm not slamming the structure, so don't stone my yet. What I'm saying is, we've got to change our mind thinking. We can't be stuck with religiousness. And if folk are going to come on a Sunday night, how can we expect the world to come? We've got to change. We've got to adapt. We've got to move on. We've got to say, Lord, what are you doing? And as God's saying, he's removing the walls that you might go out into all the world and preach the good news. This is the commission, that we go out into all the world and preach the good news. It's not about groups. It's not about meetings. It's not about carpets or curtains like it's been about. These things are important. But it's about you. It's about me living every day for him. What the world needs is people who are real. Not super spiritual separatists if I go to a religious service on a Sunday. What they want is reality. What they want is you to be truthful when you're struggling. That you shine a light, that God has placed a light within you. The Bible speaks about placing his light in perishable clay jars. If we say, and we look in the mirror, I don't see myself as a preacher. I don't see myself as a communicator. A lot of times I see myself as a daydreamer. It was spoken over me when I was a kid. And as you see is maybe your faults, is your inadequacies, is your issues, is your problems, is your illness, but you can, that God has chosen to place his treasure within you. If only we realized that and we spoke our lives each morning, that we realize that we are containers of the blessing or the light or this glorious light of the gospel, that you have got a light within you that needs to burst out through the cracks. But what we've found is that Christians need to tend to polish up the cracks, put the spiritual makeup on so we're perfect. So the work is so we're perfect. How are you, dear? I'm fine. Okay? And we pretend to be fine when we're not fine. We pretend to be real, but the world's crying out. It says, I ken you're not real. What you've got is fake. But let us be vulnerable in our workplace. Let's be real. Again, I'm going through such a mire of new. Again, I'm going through problems. Again, I'm going through issues. But I ken that God is greater. I ken that God has got stuff for me. I ken that God has got things that he's got for me. I didn't understand about what's happening in my life. I didn't understand if it's happening with my kids. I didn't understand if it's happening in my marriage. I didn't understand if it's happening with this, with that, the next thing. But I ken that greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. And God has still got a plan, a destiny, and a calling, and a purpose for my life. That's what we need to be preaching, folks. That we're not afraid to be vulnerable to our work colleagues. That we're not afraid to realize that God has placed us in our work to be his light, to be his shining light to the world. That's our responsibility, folks. Who has a light and hides it in a building? No, our very thing is, let us shine the light to us. Let the Word of God shine out within us every single day. As you go to work, look for the vulnerable. Look for the helpless. Look for the lonely. Them, look for them that is needing a word for God, the life spring that is blowing up within you. Let's not contain God any longer to our religious services on a Sunday, but let it be an overflow. Let it be a radiance. When a woman becomes pregnant, she's impregnated with new life. When a guy has won the lottery, and you got $1 million in your back pocket on your bank account, and you can, you've got money to spend, you better work differently, do you? Huh? You begin to work differently. As the baby is growing within you, you might be able to, might start waddling. Okay? You might start waddling about our way. You might hear a sore back. You might have to sleep in your back and you kind of get slept. But you glow. You glow. Why? Because you contain life. That's what we need to portray, folks. We need to glow with the glorious gospel. We are new light. We are radiance with the power of God. You are chosen. You are chosen in your rigs. You are chosen in farm eggs. You are chosen in school. You are chosen as you build walls. You are chosen in a dentist. You are chosen in a McFish. You are chosen wherever you are. He has placed you. He has called you. He has ordained you. You are where you are because He has called you to be that light. You are the light in the dark world. You are the glorious light. You are the only Jesus that they will see. They will not come through the doors because they look at you. And maybe you've been superficial in your Christianity. Maybe you've been pretending that, hey, it's all glorious. And they can see, I kind of connect with that. I kind of connect with that. I kind of live up to what I'm seeing. Oh, the walls have got to come down. The walls have got to come down. The bridge has got to be met. The moat around about the churches have got to be covered with a bridge. And the bridge is a reality. Our curtain has got to be stretched. The wall, the roof of West Church was never, in the vision, removed. Instead, it says this, enlarge the places of your tent. Stretch forth your curtains to new birth. Bray Heads, how far is it again? Duke's Bray. To Lomé. Where's the covering? Even to Australia. Stretch forth your curtain. Stretch forth. This was said to a barren woman, Israel. Israel representing the barren woman. It was impossible. But she's saying, start stretching out. Start believing. Start looking, even though you might be empty inside. And you might say, oh, but Paul, I'm surrounded by issues. I'm surrounded by mountains. Get your eyes off the mountains and get your eyes on helping somebody else that's worse off than you. And you will find that the things of the earth will go strangely dim. That the issues that you have been facing for so long starts dissolving. Because your focus is not in your situation. Your focus is in somebody else's situation. And you will find that your situation disappears as though it were nothing. Get your eyes on helping somebody else. It's not easy to say, is it? Very sermon, I like getting excited and stuff like that. It's not easy to say, but it's difficult to do. But God's given me a little mission. I'm going to get 10 alpha invites. 10 alpha invites. And I've got a little mission, and this is it. And I've been doing it for about 3 or 4 weeks now, never told nobody. I drive up and down to Tesco's. I's at one side, Tesco's at the other. I see folk laden with shopping bags all the time. And I'm praying that one day, that one of those shopping bags will be going in my direction. I'm going to stop my van, I'm going to ask him if I can help him, give him a lift. And if it's a one, I'm going to give him an alpha invite. Simple, is it? Now, I've been in this mission for 3 weeks. There has been no one gone in my direction Everyone I've passed has been going the opposite direction. But I'm ready. I'm ready. You see, we've got to get the mindset that we're army, that we're firefighters. A firefighter or a lifeboat guy, he can still want his time with his family. He can still want his whatever he's got today, he's got his job, he's got everything. But when that buzzer goes, nothing matters apart from getting to that help, place of help. That's what we are, folks. We're his firefighters. We're his lifeboat crew to a dying world. And I'm ready. And one day, God is going to ordain somebody to walk in my direction with loads of shooting bags. And I've got to stop my van. I'm going to preach to him, offer him a lift. I'll take the lift. And as I'm going to say is, here's an invite. God bless. I'm going to leave it. You see, it doesn't take, oh, you've got to be inside the street corner and preaching and preaching and preaching. It takes just simple acts of kindness. And I'm going to continue. Once I pick up a person, I'm going to continue to pray for him until something happens. Until God says, okay, move on. Simple acts of kindness makes such a big difference in the world. If can you do with your 10 alpha invites if you took the challenge? Then just distribute to 12 folk and say, that's me doing my thing. 10 folk, that's me doing my bit. Leave them lying in a desk. Hopefully somebody will pick them up. What if we had a purpose until Alpha started? We've tried the original plan was to try the barbecues and all like that, but God says, no. I'm going to make it rain these days. It's going to be too cold. But we're ready. I'm ready with my little mission. It might not work. It might be left with 7. But hey, it's my little mission in God. My little adventure. It makes my journey so much more exciting. I said, I'm not just going driving to the next jobby. I'm driving with a purpose. How much people do we walk along past each day and we do nothing of it? If we rose in the morning and says, Lord, I make myself available to you, available mentally right now. And Lord, I want you to ask me to stop and I'll stop. If a person shares with me something, help me just to stop what I'm doing. Help me to impart something to that person. Help me to move on. That's how it takes, folks. Let us be a purpose-driven people. Let us be ready to give. Let us change our mindsets about people coming in. And let's, until then, go out into all the world. If we count how much people we come into contact every week, it'd be a huge fear of folk. Folk that you will meet that I will never ever meet. Folk that you meet I'll never meet. But that's our calling. I remember Mark in Philippines, in Sefton Village, in the road out, there's a sign at the exit. It says, you are now entering the mission field. We think about the mission being Sefton Village, but the mission isn't it. The mission is the college firm. The mission is at McRae's, the dentists, the school, family, offshore, Aberdeen. That's your mission field. That's the place that God has chosen you and called you to be his light. So if I've got an idea about it, we are praying. And I want you to stand. And in standing, you got to say, Lord, I'm not myself available to be that lifeboat person, to be that fire person. That whenever you ask me, Lord, help me and give me the strength to make a stand for you. Let my light shine. Let me make a difference. Let this week, as the next 7 days go on, help make a difference in one person's life. Even though it's just carrying shopping, even though it's just helping somebody into the back of the car with their shopping that's struggling, putting back somebody's trolley that's going back to Tesco's. Something simple like that. But let one act of kindness happen in my life this week. One act of kindness. It's easy, is it? That we're going to get so selfish and we're in, like me, being so selfish with my own agendas and my own deadlines, my own this, and then that, and the next thing. That we have one act of kindness. A purpose-driven act of kindness. And if I ever come to contact with you, you got to pray for them. Nay there, nay can skurabushka, and I pray for you in the name of Jesus, that you drive home safely, and then push the trolley back him. Okay? No. You got to come away, and you got to pray for that person. Because prayer works. Prayer works, and you're just one little piece in the jigsaw that's going to make a difference in that person's life. So if you want to be used by God, if you feel this word is spoken to you, if you want to take a stand and say, Lord, I'm making myself available, I realize that you've placed me in my place for a purpose. That I pray, Lord, even though I might need a job, I pray that wherever I go this week, help me to see it with your eyes. Help me to make a difference in one person's life. And let this be a mindset change in our lives. And if that is you, just stand. Lord, we just want to thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, you've saved us. You've kept us, Lord. You're so faithful. And Lord, we just pray this week that you might use us. That maybe we'll give to someone this week, Lord. That we may make a difference in one person's life for your kingdom. And Lord, do something within us, Lord. Break down the walls. Break down the barriers. Oh Lord, we just pray that barriers might come down as we do this, Lord. Help us to realize that we're just one person in an army for you. But Lord, what a difference one person can make. And Lord, we just pray for whoever will come into contact this week, Lord. Lord, ordain their steps. Cause them to walk who or why. Cause them to go in your direction, Lord. Help us to know and we know that you have used us, Lord. Give us the strength. Give us the courage. And give us your blessing, Lord, wherever we go. In your name. Amen. Amen. Now we just got to finish. We are.